Everyone, welcome to the Culture Shock Podcast. My name is Steven Adeboye, and I've got my special guest today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. So my name is Daniel, and I run a small fintech firm who focus on making services for investors, mainly in Sweden right now.
Okay.
And making their lives easier, essentially.
Nice. What's the name of the business?
Yeah, so our name is Declara.
Okay.
So right now it's declara.se, because it's based in Sweden.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Cool. Is there any special meaning to the name, or is it?
Yeah. So funny ask, actually. So it's actually a play on a Swedish word for declaring your taxes. You can kind of hear it in English as well.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
So it's essentially we're trying to come up with a bit of a millennial name for it, like Spotify or you know all these names, and then add an A to it.
Yeah.
So essentially, Declara for declaring your taxes.
Taxes, nice. So, is the taxes based on income or?
Yeah, good question. So, what we do mainly right now, the services we offer are mainly circle around taxes at the moment, but it's essentially referring to taxes on any type of investment that you make.
Okay.
So we essentially began the business focusing on helping people in a more easy way handle taxes when they, for example, invest in stocks, in shares, funds, and things like that. Because we found that a lot of the products out there were either one, really, really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So what people would do is they would go to maybe an accountant, they get charged, you know, 100, 200 pounds an hour for work there they needed done on this.
Yeah.
And they didn't really understand what the process would be like. They just get the answer back and didn't really understand what they were doing. Or there were services that were, you know, really quite cheap, but they weren't really flexible and they weren't really focused on perhaps the local tax law. So there's a lot of international services that do things like this, but they don't know the local market. Or they were just very, very inflexible. So essentially, maybe you could just use one broker account or just these like very, very specific investments.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where we stepped in and wanted to bridge that gap and make one service that was very, very much more flexible and agile, and at the same time being affordable so that everyone could access it.
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing you kind of obviously tapped into, because a lot of people were thinking, okay, I'm going to put money into investments, don't think about the ramifications or obviously taxes, and it could always come after you. So you definitely want to make sure you have your bases covered, and you've obviously looked into your customer base and said, what works, what doesn't work, and, you know, you found your niche. I know, obviously, there's other topics as well, such as, you know, Bitcoin and, you know, the whole sort of cryptocurrency. Mm. Do you also look into that area too?
Yes. So essentially what happened was at the beginning of the year, we started looking at the market and said, okay, there's a market for investments in traditional investments.
Mm.
But very, very soon we realized that one of the biggest sort of gaps in there was that there's this new investment type, cryptocurrency, that's come up in the market where people have no idea what they're doing. And it so happens to be that the tax laws in Sweden are very, very complicated around cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
So you'd think that something with like cryptocurrency, you could just invest, you know, sell it off, and then you're good, right? It's cryptocurrency is meant to be off the radar, but it's not really like that. It's quite opposite, actually. So even if you would take a cryptocurrency and go down to a hot dog stand that perhaps would charge you in cryptocurrency, because there are things like that now, that's actually a taxable gain. So even if you just buying a hot dog with your Bitcoin or whatever it is, you could actually be liable for tax. And what the tax office in mainly Sweden right now are doing that we're aware of, it's actually tracking these people down that have done this.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of people risk getting into a lot of trouble for, you know, doing something that they might not even realize they need to declare.
Yeah.
So that's where we kind of step in and make it easier for them to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, it's you know, very interesting, because it's in everyone's world, it's like it's a gold mine, and obviously what's yours is yours. But once you start making those transactions, there's tax, we have VAT, and the equivalent of that. So You do mention that ecosystem, obviously, you know, evolving, and then you being a part of it. Do you see, you know, again, with the topic of cryptocurrency, do you see it evolving the way it's supposed to be in terms of replacing banks, or do you think it's going to be some sort of balance between the two?
I mean, I think it's very interesting the way it's going with banks right now, because many different banks have different strategies about this.
Mm.
I know there are banks in Sweden that essentially ban their employees from even owning cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of tells a very, very interesting story around the threat that banks see in the cryptocurrency market, because here they're sitting on this monetary system that's been around for, well, in this current form since the 70s, if you know economic history. And here there's this new asset that comes in that is essentially coming in, potentially ruining the power that banks have had.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, before, all money in the world used to be backed by gold. So there used to be like some sort of gold stowed away in a safe somewhere, covering, you know, all the money that's left on the planet. But it's not like that anymore, right?
Yeah.
Money is technically not worth anything. It's not backed by anything. It's just backed by the fact that governments are saying that £1 is worth £1. Mm-hmm. And now cryptocurrency is coming along, and it's a very, very different system, because now one unit of cryptocurrency is actually worth something, and that's the energy that it took to extract it. And it's essentially turning this, and the ease of which you can make transactions and so on, is turning this existing system on its edge. And I think that's a very, very interesting
place to be. Absolutely interesting, because we've looked at different countries, obviously. Some dictatorships have obviously made the currency worthless. And obviously working for a worthless currency is pretty much, you know, a continuous system that keeps people poor in certain situations and keeps the rich rich. But I guess I can see it obviously changing the sort of dynamics with certain countries, you know, having an uprising in terms of economic stability. Perhaps that could be something that, you know, creates that financial sort of freedom in terms of different people working in the way they want to work or live. So it's definitely good to know. And again, you know, you're looking at both markets at the moment, saying, okay, if you want to make investments, you're here to help, but also looking at the space of cryptocurrency. From your background, you know, do you have a financial background, just for our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've essentially come from studying finance economics. And I worked in the finance industry for almost 4 years now.
Okay.
Varying roles. Not with specifically with tax-related things, but very much with investments.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of a passion that I've had since I was 15.
Okay.
So for me, it's something that's that really drives me.
Mm.
And I've always, you know, liked the idea that you can create your own you know, your own freedom, your own wealth by building up and through investing.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've practiced and trying to tell other people and educate people about this, for as long as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, for me, it's also, this topic is very close to me.
Yeah.
And being able to work in this industry and helping other people achieve, you know, what I know is, you know, good for myself, and being able to enable other people is something that I really enjoy doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, again, with the whole investment thing, it sounds to me and, you know, a few novice people, like, okay, you're going to put your money into something, you hope for a quick return, and then you kind of cash out and do it again. Do you think investment should be more long-term thinking, or do you think there's obviously places in the market where you can make your money very quickly and, you know, learn how to trade effectively?
Yeah, so I think that a lot of people are of this opinion that, oh, you want to get in, you want to do it quick. But I think that there's definitely a place for that. There's definitely people that do make money off of that. But for the general public and for, you know, normal people like you and me, who might not, I mean, I don't even consider myself, you know, a massive expert on trading.
Mm-hmm.
I do like investing, but I always look at it with a long-term perspective.
Of course.
And I think that's really what people who are, you know, not doing it on an everyday basis, not living it, not breathing it, should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's really the only way to make money long-term. And it's a way to massively reduce your risk. Because if you go in and out of things, trade things that you might not understand completely, you don't read up on it and make sure exactly what you're getting yourself into, you stand a big risk at losing money. And I see a lot of people doing that, which I think is quite sad. But it's the way of the game. People want to be in for the quick wins. And that's, if you want to win big, you got to stand to risk a lot as well.
Yeah, it's true. And again, I think the subject matter of what you're putting your investments into does matter too. I mean, sure, you can make money in certain areas, but you don't put the research in, you don't know what's going on.
Exactly, yeah.
You can't really decide exactly how to sort of react if things going to happen.
Mm.
And, you know, it's very good to sort of know that you've done this in an early age and, you know, you kind of said, okay, I want to obviously understand how the market works. I want to, you know, have economic, you know, empowerment in terms of how I make decisions and, you know, has led you to this road. Do you have a big team that obviously you work with to to build this vision of yours?
So, I mean, the business that we're working on right now, it's a project and there's four of us involved. And we all have very specific roles in this. I mean, I come in with a business and the finance background, sort of designing the product and from the tax perspective and the rules that we need to abide by. And we got two more people that are more on the technical side and actually implementing this.
Okay.
So they're doing a massive job right now, trying to translate what's in my head about this product. And enhance it, because we already have a product out there. I didn't mention that before, but we essentially released a product after 3 months of work at the start of this year. And we have a long list of very happy customers that found us, and we essentially saved their view on what was going to happen to them, and possibly a lot of money, because they probably would have gone to someone and got charged a lot of money for the service they were offering.
Of course, yeah.
And we got a ton of positive response to this, and it was really fun to see.
That's really amazing, and obviously you're expanding from where you're going right now. But with the inception of the idea, what was it like? Did you obviously you had this concept in your mind? You had the four people you're working with, and you kind of said, okay, this is my vision and stuff. But did you face any sort of challenges of trying to get your customers first, or was it just word of mouth? How did it all sort of transpire?
Yeah, so it's a range of different things, actually. There's a cryptocurrency investment community in Sweden. So what we started doing, actually, is we went through a lot of forums and Facebook groups.
Okay.
Because we noticed that in sort of the stage that we're at in this, technological online community thing, a lot of people talk about things that they're doing, on people like to give tips to other things that they invested in, and tell that to other people so that people can share that success. So we actually went through there, sort of tapped in on the need for this kind of product, in both stocks and in cryptocurrency. And from there, essentially, we built a network through social media, but also, and what we ended up doing was we actually made a small commercial. Very low cost, but very a very nice one, just shortly explaining what the concept would be. And we got a lot of positive response from both partners that we worked with, spread with word of mouth, spread to the crypto community, that really explained really well and made really really good impact to them. We also worked with bloggers in the crypto space, websites, and also went through we have a website and setting up so that it was very searchable via Google and things like that, with search engine optimization. So it's sort of an approach where we've started a brand very, very quickly, but attacked on many fronts to get to where we want to be.
And it's cool because the community seems very welcoming to your sort of idea and understanding that, okay, there is a need for this, because right now it's such a fresh market, essentially, of understanding what it means to obviously have this money or this opportunity, rather, and knowing what sort of real world aspects can be, and bringing it to life in such an accessible way where it's customizable to their needs as well. Obviously with the way the whole sort of cryptocurrency is right now, and Facebook saying you can't even mention the name blockchain, because I tried to make an advert for a client of mine, and it involved the word blockchain.
Oh, really?
And it just, I wanted to obviously advertise it on Facebook, and they said no, can't do it.
That's interesting. So, we advertised on Facebook. That was in Swedish, so maybe we got around that. But
maybe
Facebook not understanding Swedish.
Maybe not understanding Swedish or something. Yeah, very random. But they immediately picked it up. Oh. I thought something was wrong with my computer, and I just started clicking. And it's like, okay, no. I'm just wondering about the perception, obviously. Yeah. Blockchain and bitcoins and I say bitcoins, cryptocurrency. Do you think it's something that is badly stigmatized because of the recent sort of gambling of those sort of coins, or is it something that people just don't understand and it's just something that they need to sort of have education on?
I mean, I think most of the people that do invest in cryptocurrency probably don't really understand what they're investing in, which is a problem, obviously, as with any investment. But in terms of regulating it, and I'm not sure about that. I mean, it's not really gambling, is it? It is a type of investment, and there's no regulation on investing in stocks and funds or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, and I don't really see the way it could be regulated either, because the whole point about this is to have it decentralized. Exactly. And that's the point of every single cryptocurrency. So I think that they might try to do that in the future. I mean, they already try to, as you said, with Facebook trying to block if you're doing this. Yeah. We had a funny incident actually with one of our payment providers.
Okay.
Is that they sent us an email saying that, well, you're providing cryptocurrency services. We don't want to serve you. Because they thought we were trading cryptocurrency,
right.
Which they apparently didn't want to encourage with the money laundering or whatever that was. Right. Mm-hmm. So we had to essentially go and explain to them, look, we're actually just helping people invest in it. We don't actually do any trading ourselves.
Yeah,
we don't hold any cryptocurrency in this company at all. Mm-hmm. We're completely disassociated with this,
yeah.
Which was fine. But it's quite interesting when you say that, because it is stigmatized. And I think that the traditional payment providers are quite threatened by the way the industry is developing.
Yeah, it seems that way. I think, you know, it's a game changer, like you mentioned. It can obviously do a lot, but there's probably an excuse, perhaps, to say, you know what, some people have lost quite heavily because of the sort of credit cards they've been using to sort of pay for, you know that element of buying the cryptocurrencies, and so they're in debt, and so we don't want to promote that on Facebook, and they're just so sensitive to the situation. So, again, I think the information needs to be sort of presented, you know, in a way where it's like, you know, you're trading the same way you're trading in stocks. There are, you know, elements of risk if you're choosing to go that way. But if you do it the right way, then it should be fine. Have the right support, it should be okay too.
Mm.
I guess, you know, in Sweden, perhaps you don't have that problem. In the UK, it's kind of obviously mentioned that, you know, Facebook's probably limited. Those responses. Do you see yourself expanding above and beyond in Sweden?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's something we're already looking at. So Sweden is a very small and niche market. It suited us really well because of the complex tax rules around cryptocurrency and where it was difficult for people to actually even know what to do with it. But we've already started to look initially beyond the Swedish border, so the rest of Scandinavia, where we found that the tax laws generally are a bit more lenient, a bit easier to understand. But for example, with Denmark, where they essentially just this year change the laws so that people do have to declare cryptocurrency.
Oh, right.
So there's definitely potential in other countries as well.
Mm-hmm.
And just the sheer amount of people that have traded cryptocurrency are not declaring taxes.
Mm.
If these tax agencies in these different countries start going after these people, because there are ways they can do that, unfortunately, or fortunately, however you look at it, there's going to have to be someone who steps in and helps all these people, because not everyone can afford an accountant. I mean, if you traded a bit of cryptocurrency, chances are you haven't even realized your profits. Sometimes you could have just, you know, moved your money from one cryptocurrency to another.
Yeah.
And if you do that in Sweden, just moving it from, for example, Bitcoin to Ethereum, that actually means that you have realized a profit or a loss.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
So that's something that's quite unique to Sweden, as far as we know. But that could cause huge issues, because if you sell from one currency to another and realize a gain, we've had clients that essentially had hundreds of thousands of pounds of profits that they now have taxable, but they don't have the money to cover that.
Yeah.
So that's also an issue, a very, very separate one. But that just highlights the importance of actually educating people of that when you go into something like this, when you trade something like this, you need to have the knowledge and also the support to understand what the implications are tax-wise and in other aspects as well.
Yeah, because you can see, obviously, you make profit, and go, okay, I'm going to buy this nice car, and then obviously you're down to the government somehow, which is a shame. Is your service more about when you had to declare your tax, or do you do like an ongoing service to sort of monitor your trading?
Yeah, so, I mean, the end goal for us is to have an end-to-end solution. So we've identified a gap right now where the tax part, especially in Sweden, is where there wasn't much support for people. But I mean, long term, we see ourselves as being very much a multi-service in the investment space to help people save money, for example, on trading costs. So many people, you know, they just go into a trading platform not really knowing what else is out there. So we're working on one product where essentially it would help people to choose which trading platform would suit them best.
That's good.
And also just keeping track of where all your investments are, because a lot of our clients, including myself, if I count myself as one of our own clients, because I do use my service, have accounts in multiple places. So it can be very, very difficult, and I don't know this myself, to keep track of how much money you make in each place, which then will make it difficult to make decisions about whether you should buy or sell or whatever it is, right? So if you had just one centralized place where you could do all these things together, we had all investments, track how they're doing, mm-hmm. and then just have an easy way to export that and you know, put it straight to the tax man without having to think too much about it, we think that would really add a lot of value. So that's kind of where we see ourselves going, starting in the crypto space, because that's where the major need is now.
Yeah.
But then also going to other alternative investments. So we have seen, for example, a huge spike in demand for peer-to-peer loans.
Okay.
So that's when essentially you you yourself would take your money and lend it to someone else who might need money without actually going to a bank. So that's a new type of investments that really retrieve traction that a lot of people are going into. Another thing, so there's all these new investments like Kickstarter and things like that that comes in where people don't really know what to do with it tax-wise and track it essentially in terms of performance. So we see ourselves going in that kind of space too.
Yeah, I completely forgot, even with Kickstarters, does that count even though you're raising funds?
Yeah.
That actually counts for, obviously, you have to declare the tax as well.
Yeah, so I mean, it will depend on country to country, right?
Mm.
And it's not something we started working on, but it's something that's been in our mind and just viewing as a potential. There's other different types of things, like there's these micro fundings, micro loans and things like that too, in addition to what we just discussed. But I guess the point is that there's a lot of potential for these new alternative investments coming up, where there is not really an end-to-end service out there to collate all that in one place and get all the boring paperwork off your shoulders.
Absolutely, And usually you said, it's just a team of four. It sounds like if it grows, you're going to have to expand your team.
Mm.
Do you think, is it going to be one thing where it's pretty much, IT-centric, or is it going to have some sort of consultation service as well?
Yeah, so we actually discussed this, and I think the natural step for us is to sort of reach out to already existing resources.
Mm-hmm.
So we see ourselves as a natural partner with tax accountants.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for one, because many of our clients might have such a complex case that they might not be able to do their taxes themselves, even if they're on a platform. Because what we are essentially is it's a technology tool. We essentially enable people to do the taxes with us in a very, very easy way. An easy way that, you don't need to have a degree in accounting or finance to be able to access it. But at the same time, if you have a very complex case and you have very many, many exceptions or whatever it may be, you might want to go to a tax accountant anyway. So we see ourselves as a natural extension and working with tax accountants. We're already starting that process on just partnership basis, essentially, to try and win that service. And in the future, we don't know how that model's going to look, but that is definitely an area as well that we have already thought about and working to expanding towards.
No, it's really good. It's really good that you kind of thought this through, and obviously you're getting people on board in terms of understanding, there's a gap in terms of, the tools not supporting the needs of the users or, the customers or investors. And even to what you mentioned, there's a lot of entrepreneurs and, self-starters who just think, okay, gaining capital is probably the first step, but declaring it afterwards is something that I had to throw away when I make the money. But you got to do it at any stage anyways. Yep. And for me, I started a limited company. I work for myself. I'm paying an accountant quite a lot of money to just look at stuff.
I know you do.
And the annoying part about this is I know they're not doing anything, because it's pretty much a dashboard which is telling me, what's coming into my account and what I need to pay out.
Yeah.
And I call them every now and then and say, just ask them random questions. Can I take this dividends and can I do this? And it's just like, I know this. It's all there. So there's a lot of, obviously, accountants are taking advantage of certain situations, and I think if you can do it in such a way which caters to the users and you can make it, friendly service, I think you're into a good start. So, congrats to you and, your progress in that. But in terms of your legacy and what you want to obviously do, in terms of the end goal, what's your footprint in terms of what you want to achieve?
Yeah, so what we want to do is just have, as I said before, a platform. But I mean, the end goal of that platform is really, it's not for us to make a service. That's not what the end goal of something is.
Mm.
The end goal is to make life easier for other people. That's what a service is meant to achieve, right? And what we really want to do is make investing more attainable for more people. Because I know that a lot of people that I speak to that are probably not so finance-oriented, they haven't studied finance like I have, they haven't worked in finance. A lot of them get scared, right, when they talk about things like investing, because they don't know the process. They don't even have to start. They definitely don't know how to do the taxes if it would ever come to that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what we would aim to do is just have a service that would make that gap for people, or the step to get onto the investment ladder,
mm-hmm.
just a bit smaller,
yeah.
and being able to just add value to the people that do get in there, make their life easier, and as I said, make it accessible for people that don't have a background in this area.
Nice. I have one controversial question to ask you.
Go for it.
Since you're a financial expert.
Yeah, you made it very easy so far.
Yeah, really. I'm going to put this curveball. So, as you know, Brexit's about to happen.
Yeah.
What's your stance on the sort of economic climate? Do you think it's obviously going to take a dip, and do you think it's wise to invest now or when it actually happens?
Yeah, so I'm never going to give anyone any investment advice.
Right, disclaimer.
Disclaimer. But I mean, for myself, I have, as a Swedish citizen living in the UK, I think we all felt the pain of Brexit in the first day when it happened.
Yeah.
And since then, it's kind of been back and forth, and nothing has actually really happened.
Yeah.
They keep talking about deals, no deals, hard Brexit, soft Brexit. Borders, Ireland, whatever it is, right? I think that it's, in the long run, not going to matter too much whether the UK is in the EU or not. These things find a way to have their own way. I mean, we've got tons of countries in Europe that are not part of the European Union, like Norway and Switzerland, that are doing really, really well, right? These are very, very rich countries.
Yeah.
And they've obviously found a way to do that. But my advice to anyone would be, don't try to time the market. Think more long term, as we talked about before.
Yeah.
About what you actually believe in. Do you believe in the UK as a country? Well, then you know what you want to do. You probably want to invest here. But if you don't believe that the UK is going to be the empire that it's been in the past, economics-wise,
yeah.
Then you probably want to stay out and look elsewhere.
Okay.
That would be my take on it.
I like the sort of, full circle. So obviously long-term planning, long-term investments, obviously being key. Don't take chances if you don't need to. Nothing comes
Very
quick.
Good advice, yeah.
Nothing comes quick. If it comes quick and it's too easy, it's not worth it. Definitely. And I think...
If it comes quick and it works, then it's definitely worth it.
Okay, but right,
You would never have gone something quick if you didn't take high risk. I think that's something that you should bear in mind, because every time you make money quickly, it means you took a high risk. Otherwise, there was something wrong with the... Or probably something dodgy with what you did.
But you can't do it so many times over and over, unless you're a genius and then...
Yeah, I mean...
Buy a brick and then sell it, please, and let me know how it works. But in terms of where they can find you, where can people find you? Where platforms and stuff?
Yeah, so we've got our website, so declara.se. We're on Instagram. Might be a bit difficult to find because it's called Declara Sverige,
okay.
which is the Swedish word for Sweden.
Okay.
Right now, we're on Facebook as just Declara, so that would probably be the easiest way on Facebook to find us.
Yeah.
Or on LinkedIn as well.
Perfect. I'll put all the links in the description.
Yeah.
And obviously, they can click into your sort of profiles and see how your progress is going and all the hard work you've been putting into this. So. Sounds like it's an amazing, platform that you've just, described, and something that I'll probably look into when I start thinking about investments, if you make it for the UK. So I'm very excited to see the growth of this, and, thank you for your time, and, thank you for being on the podcast.
Yeah, my pleasure.
All right, thank you guys for listening, and take care. Hey podcast listeners, thanks for listening and thanks for my special guest and thanks for clicking that play button. But I need you to do 4 things for me. I want you to like, comment, subscribe, and share this content. It will help tremendously with the growth of this podcast, and I'm producing more content than ever, so I want you guys to be the first to know, and I want others to know as well. So do those 4 things for me and help this podcast grow to a bigger platform. Thanks for listening.